الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ابي القاسم المصطفى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى اهل بيته الاكرمين الانزلين بهم نتمنى ومن اعدائهم ان نتبرا الى النار اللهم كن وليك الحجه الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى اثاره في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا محافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا معينا حتى تسكنه أرضك الله وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
May Allah تبارك وتعالى accept the servitude and worship. And may Allah not make this month of Ramadan the last month of our life. May further opportunities be given to us to observe this sacred month so that we can reduce the distance between us and our Lord. We talked about the wasiyya of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and this phrase was mentioned that Imam says, وَعَلَمْ أَنْ لَكَّذِي بِيَدِهِ خَزَائِنُ مَلَكُوتِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ قَدَعَدْنَا لِدُوَائِكْ لَوْزِنْ حَسَنْ. Know that he who possesses or in whose hands is the kingdom of the skies and the earth, he has permitted you to communicate with him, to supplicate to him. And for that we talked a little bit about how and what are the etiquettes that need to be observed when a person is offering his prayers. Now in this journey, a prayer is a journey. That is, from this dunya, we get attached and connected to Allah, the Barak wa Ta'ala. And we do find these glorious sayings from Imam Subin, which says that, As-salat mi'raj al-mu'min. That salat, it is that mi'raj, the ascension of a mu'min. That from this planet, from this earth, which is the low land, he elevates and gets connected to Allah, the Barak wa Ta'ala. Now, there are things to be observed in this prayer. One of them, we come to this point, which is qira'at. Qira'at is the recitation of the surahs. Now, whenever we talk about qira'at in the prayer, it means the recitation of Surah Al-Hamd and the recitation of second surah which we recite. I just mentioned a fiqhi masala over here, and that is, we believe that all the surahs that are recited in namaz, they have to start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You cannot start a surah in prayers without Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's the other school of thought which will recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim without the surahs are without that. Now when you recite this Bismillah, you automatically attract the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in that prayer. Now, every prayer that we offer, it possesses Suratul Hamd, which is the element of that prayer. Without Suratul Hamd, even if it's a two-rakat prayer, the Suratul Hamd is mandatory. You have to recite it. If sometimes you find in the books that you offer a two-rakat prayer and such a surah has to be recited, it doesn't mean that Suratul Hamd will be opted out. No, Suratul Hamd, by default, it's part of every prayer. May that be wajib or may that be mustahab. So when that much of importance and emphasis we find for Suratul Hamd, there is this hadith which says that إِذَا قُرِئَ, it is if this Suratul Hamd was recited upon someone who was dead, and if that dead comes back to life, it's not no wonder it is that effect of that Suratul Hamd which grants and that great wonder. Now what happens that we do recite all these surahs so many times, it doesn't have that effect, it's because there's something wrong with us. And if you look into this book called Mi'raj al-Sa'adah, written by Marhum Naraqi, his son was a 6-7 year old boy, he was ill. Now like every well-wisher who was coming to meet him, now the son was so ill that he was faced Qibla, about to die. Everyone came, they prayed, and the father also standing outside the house. Here one of the old men, he comes, he says that, allow me to recite something for your son. He says, yes, please. Now the father is a great alim, one of the greatest ulama of his time. who's written this book, Mi'raj al-Sa'adah, which is a book of ethics and akhlaq, which is the fundamental course for every person who steps into the houses. So that beautiful book he has written, and his son is here. Now this old man, if you look into his attire, wasn't anything magnificent, just a random old man. He says that he comes and he recites that surah al-Ham and he leaves. Comes inside the house to see how his son is, and he was amazed to see that his son, who was almost dying, and everyone was surrounding him, the mother of the sheep, he sees that the mother is feeding that young boy, 7-year-old. Says he gets up and says, I'm hungry, I want something to eat. And when he sees this scenario, runs back to that person to see who he was. And that old man person who had recited that surah al-Ham. So as it was mentioned the other day, awliya Allah, they don't have any name tags, it could be any person. And for that reason we have to respect every person, we don't know who that person is going to be. So that surah al-Ham, recited by someone special, has that miraculous effect that someone who is about to die also can be reversed. Now that hadith says that if someone was dead and that surah was recited 70 times on him, and if he came back to life, it is nothing amazing. That is the beautiful effect of that surah al-Ham. Now when it comes to the qira'at of surahs in our prayers, we give so much of importance as to how the surahs or the recitation of the prayers has to be, which is mandatory, and it has to be as such that we have to recite and offer these prayers correctly. That is the first step, that the prayers have to be offered correctly. But we get so much drowned in correcting these prayers, we get driven away from the essence of the prayers many a times. First phase is that you recite these prayers correctly, and the second phase is that you look into and ponder into what you are reciting. So that is the second phase. So just making the shell of the prayer and omitting the essence of it, that is also not desired. It's like having, when a person is hungry, he goes to these drive-through fast foods, he gets himself filled. He has filled himself, but he hasn't gained any much energy. The same thing is with these prayers. If these prayers are done, that wajib of it, we've done the duty, we won't be punished in the hereafter. But at the same time, we haven't gained anything from that prayer, which we ought to have gained from it. So that is the second phase of it, that essence of that prayer has to be understood. I'll just quote you a hadith from Qudsi, so that we can get a gloomy picture of what exactly happens in this prayer. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says, when a person, he stands in worship, stands before me, says, قَسَّمْتُ السَّلَاةِ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي فَنِسْفُهَا لِي وَنِسْفُهَا لِعَبْدِي. That is, when you stand in worship before Allah, he says, I have distributed this prayer between me and my servant, half for him, half for me. That is the greatness of Allah. And then says, فَإِذَا قَالَ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. When my servant says that Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, which is in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, he says, يَقُولُ اللَّهِ ذَكَرَنِي عَبْدِي. Allah says, my servant, he remembered me. If Allah says that my servant remembered me, that is a great position which the person holds, just because Allah has said that he has remembered me. Now, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, riwayat they say, Masumeen they have mentioned, that Ism-e-Azam is in this ayah. Ism-e-Azam is that secret which is hidden in some of the ayah of Quran, or maybe all of the ayah of Masumeen. They are the Ism-e-Azam, or they are the secrets between Allah and us. And then says, وَإِذَا قَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. He hasn't recited the entire ayah, just said الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. Allah says, حَمَدَنِي عَبْدِي وَأَثْنَى عَلَيْهِ. That my servant, he praised me. And because of that praise of this servant of mine who has said الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. Now, this exactly is the same thing when we bow down into ruku. And then we rise from ruku, we say, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدًا. Meaning, سَمِعَ in Arabic means, he heard. When we are saying our prayers, it is something which is continuous. It hasn't even gone into the past tense. It is a prayer which is being offered. When we say Sami'a Allah, it means Allah already heard. What I said, He has already heard. Or before I said it, that message is already in His inbox. That Sami'a Allah liman hamida, He has already heard. To whom belongs all this praise? And that says, وَإِذَا قَالَ الرَّحْمَانَ الرَّحِيمَ. And when I say in this namaz, الرَّحْمَانَ الرَّحِيمَ, Rahman is that special share of mercy of Allah for all, for everyone, the creation at large. And when I say Rahim, it's that special share of mercy for mu'mineen. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. He says, يَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَذَّبَنِي عَبْدِي. It is when He said, when you said Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah says, my servant, He glorified me, He exalted me, He raised me, He praised me. وَإِذَا قَالَ مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ يَقُولُ اللَّهُ مَجَّدَنِي عَبْدِي. Or elsewhere it says, فَوَّضَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي. That is when you say مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. That is, Allah is the king, the ruler, the possessor, in whose possession is the day of judgment. Says that this servant of mine, he handed over his tasks and affairs to me. That is, he submitted to me. And when you say Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, Iyyaka na'budu, it is only you that I worship, and it is only from you I seek assistance and help. Now we have to know the meanings of these surahs so that when we stand in worship and talk to Allah, we can understand what exactly is being said and a better service will be provided. And then we say, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Ihdina means guide us to the right path. Riwayat, they say that sirat al-mustaqim, which we have in the hereafter, or even in this dunya, Ali yun huwa sirat al-mustaqim. That is Ali alayhi salatu wassalam. He is that straight path. That when we say Allah guide us to the straight path, that is, if He guides us to this concept of imamat, then from there to the destination it's easier to get to. And if someone is misled, he doesn't get to the origin of this destination, which is Sirat al-Mustaqim, which is the concept of imamat, then definitely that person will be misled. And then says, when you say Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, يَقُولُ اللَّهُ هَذَا لِعَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ. He hasn't completed the surah. He just said, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Here Allah surrenders and says, everything is for my servant. Whatsoever he wants, he can ask me and he can get that from me. So,
اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ.
We talked about having hope in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and being optimistic with Him. We talked about repentance and all those different criteria that were mentioned, and ultimately it was mentioned that with this excuse that normally people have, that they would say that we know Allah is merciful, we know He will forgive us, we also know that what we are doing is wrong, it's haram, it's a sin, but we have hope that He will forgive us on the day of judgment. With that excuse that He is merciful, and with that justification that this is a crime and a sin that we are doing, He will forgive us. The answer was given to you in detail the other day. And the example that was mentioned is that we do have these policies for all our goods, for cars, for your household appliances, and we insure them. Now if we break those appliances purposely and willingly, then definitely that insurance company will not cover it. They would say it's covered only for accidental damage. That is, if someone committed a crime or a sin unwillingly, or if he committed a crime or a sin not knowingly or by mistake, Allah says, I will forgive you, you are covered. But if knowingly, if someone does anything wrong, which is haram, he consumes something which is najis, then he also will not forgive, because that package does not include, it does not cover. One of the other things which is similar to this is the concept of shifa'at that we have faith in. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in Quran says, قل لله الشفاعة قل لله الشفاعة جميعا له ملك السماوات والأرض ثم إليه ترجعون. Let's say this shafaat, it's for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, all of it. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He possesses the skies, the kingdom of the skies and the earth. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And then you will return unto Him, to Allah. Now we find a few things over here. One of the issues, we did talk about it on and off, it is the importance of salawat ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
This salawat that we recite, that too is also that mediation, that shafaat, that we request them to mediate between us and Allah. And when we talk about salawat, it is mustahab. That whenever you are reminded, or whenever you remember, or whenever these names are uttered before you, like Mahmoud, like Ahmad, like Abu Qasim, and Muhammad, you raise your voices in the recitation of Salawat ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
And it isn't as such that only when these names are uttered. Now we have an exception here. In namaz, whatever has been designed and said to you, only that has to be recited. The only exception that we have in prayers, that wheresoever, whenever, as much as you wish, you can recite that recital, is the salawat ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So, Rasulullah, he says, the most disloyal nation is that who hears my name and does not send salawat upon me, the most disloyal nation. And then says, this faith that we have in shafaat, this iman and aqeedah in shafaat, it is one of the doors of the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That is, as shafaat belongs to Allah, because He is all mercy. He has opened this outlet of shafaat and given that to some, that charge of it to some. That is, the outlet of mercy, He has opened another distribution center, that is through Masumin alayhi salam. Same way, likewise, in Quran we find that lahu ghaybu samawati wal ard, that all the ghayb, the unseen, is possessed by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But sometimes He grants and gives access to a few who have access to that unseen and ghaib of Allah. Depending on the caliber of an individual, he has access to it. I'll give you some examples here. And with that, you will get to know what exactly is being said. On the Day of Judgment, Allah would say to the nation of Rasulullah, that is, O nation of my beloved Habib, I forgave all my rights, that is, Allah. He would say that I will forgive all of that. And you, if you correct the wrong between you and other members of the community, you can enter the heaven. It is half of it, he says, I'm ready to waive. But the second half, you have to fix it yourself. You have to correct it yourself. One of the names which Allah has, it's Sari'ul Ridha. Someone who becomes pleased and happy quickly. No matter how much wrong we may have had done, if we come to Him and we ask Him to forgive us, He forgives. Qarun, one of those who was ruined by that wrath that came, that adab that was brought forth. Qarun, he is the first cousin of Prophet Musa. Also, he is the husband of his sister, Musa's sister. So on one hand, he is the brother-in-law and also the first cousin of Prophet Musa, meaning that Prophet Musa's father and his father were brothers, his first cousin. Now, Qarun initially was a good person, a mu'min. He had faith in Musa, whatever Prophet Musa said, he heard, he listened, and he abided by his command. He started getting rich, and money makes matter. So as he saw that wealth that was being done for and flourished to Qarun, and in those days the ayah was revealed, that is, zakat is wajib, and everyone has to pay zakat. And when this ayah was revealed, and Qarun was informed, he said, I will not be paying that zakat. And Prophet Musa, here, he finds out that Qarun, he gave a lot of wealth to one of these prostitutes in town and said that you go and deceive and cheat Musa so that he is defamed in the community. Now that woman, she takes all that money, comes to Musa, and instead of misleading and cheating him, she comes and says what is her task and for what reason she has come to him. And here Prophet Musa is furious, and the ghazab of Prophet Musa is well known. It's been mentioned in all our books that he was enraged, and his Amr bin Ma'ruf also was very strong, unlike other prophets and imams. He was a very hot tempered in that sense, you could put it in that way. So Prophet Musa, he was upset when he finds out that this woman has come with that evil task. So he complains to Allah. His name, title is Kalimullah. He communicates with Allah and he gets the messages, he talks to him. Says to Allah, in rage, that what do I do? What shall I do with this problem? Allah says, the land is all yours, Musa. Whatsoever you want, you can do with Qarun. Prophet Musa, enraged, he instructs the land to open and to sink Qarun with all his wealth. Qarun, the land opened and he was being killed. At that moment, Qarun starts calling, Musa, forgive me. I want to repent, I want to return. Musa gave no notice. And he ended, that is, Qarun ended, died. Prophet Musa's daily routine was that he supplicated and whispered with Allah, that is the munajat that we have for Prophet Musa. And it was such that every night when he talked to Allah, he gets a message back, and Allah also talks to him, replies to whatever he has to say, he has said. On that night, the day of which Qarun had died, Prophet Musa comes and starts supplicating with his munajat, communication with Allah. That day Allah said to Musa that I will not respond to you. No matter how much you talk to me today, I will not talk to you. The reason for that, he says, that my servant, he had repented. He was calling you Qarun, someone who had stood against Allah, who had stood against Musa, says, my servant, he was calling you and you disregarded him. You did not listen to him, you turned away from him. You did not care to what he was saying. You did not care to what he was saying. I would not care to what you are saying. Although Prophet Musa was kind, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is much more kind than any prophet, than any imam. Now we do find these shortfalls in some of the prophets. Now it is a tarki awla after all. That is, he did something which he should not have done. That is, if Qarun said, help and forgive me, he should have accepted that. And a similar thing can be seen with Prophet Yunus. The prophets, all of them, have been a reflection of some of the attributes of Allah. But we find the Masumeen that we have, the 14, and especially the 12 Imams, they are a reflection of all of the attributes of Allah, the Barak wa Ta'ala. So maybe Prophet Musa is a reflection of some of the attributes of Allah. Prophet Isa is a reflection of some. Rasulullah is a reflection of all of the attributes of Allah, the Barak wa Ta'ala. So we have someone of that greatness to help us out in this concept of Shafa'at. Now here I'll give you some more examples. Says, for example, Imam al-Mujtaba ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi wa alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Our second Imam, a maid, she comes and offers a flower to Imam. Now in reply to that maid, that he also wants to pay her back, says, you are free in the way of Allah. He freed that maid, just for offering a flower to the Imam. Someone present in that majlis said, she gave you a flower and you freed her in the way of Allah. You freed her. How come? How did you do that? In reply, Imam says, Quran says, that is, if someone says salam to you, if someone greets you, the teaching is that you have to greet him or her back in a better way. She gave me a flower, she needs to be greeted and paid back in a better way. So I greet her in the way of Allah. So that is the greatness of Masumin alayhi salam. Elsewhere we find in the du'as that we have, in one of these du'as, Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu was salam, he says,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali
Muhammad. Says that, Allah, if you took me to the hell, to Jahannam, says my hope in you will not lessen, even a little bit. Even though you will be punishing me in the hellfire, but my hope in you will remain the same. That is the greatness, that Iman that he has. One of the things that we ought to know is that we have to protect ourselves from the satanic traps in this dunya. Now why do we say that? That why do we need to protect ourselves? We have to be afraid of shaitan for a few reasons. One of the reasons is that shaitan is the sworn enemy, and he has sworn that he will fight us, deviate us, put us away from Allah. Secondly, he is totally aware of us. It isn't as such that he has done all the background checks and everything. He knows totally who we are, what our origin is, what our destination is, where do I live, what do I like, what my likes and dislikes are. Everything is known to shaitan. And the other thing, the reason why we need to be afraid of shaitan is that he was living somewhere for a long time in the heavens, in the higher zone, and he knows the secrets of that zone as well. So he has got all that information. So because he's got all that information from the higher levels, he has the information of myself here. And for that, and he has laid all these traps before me, and all these forces that are against me, he has them in control. For that reason, we have to be afraid of shaitan. We have to be aware of who our enemy is. At the same time, we have to have hope in Allah that he, for our guidance, he has sent all the prophets. For our guidance, he has sent all the imams. For our guidance, servants of the imam, servants of the servants of the servants of the imam, who play a role in guidance, who bring us back on track and connect and hook us up with Allah, the Lord of Ta'ala, even they are there. So that is also something which helps us, which gives us a lot of hope. At the same time, that fear is there, that shaitan is also present. Ahlul Bayt alayhi wassalam, we find that they are the best of guides. It is no matter what we want, we can get that from the Ahlul Bayt. As we are the nation of Rasulullah, some qualities we possess by default. And that is good, we have to be thankful to Allah. And we have grown with these qualities, and these qualities, if they are within us, they help us in being away from shaitan. One day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi
wa sallam,
walking into Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, there he meets shaitan. And this also is something which we find in riwayah, that sometimes the prophets, they had access to shaitan, they met shaitan. Yesterday we quoted another incident where Prophet Isa communicates, has a dialogue in inviting shaitan back. Here Rasulullah, he says that I saw shaitan in Masjid al-Haram, and he was pale, tired, disturbed. Rasulullah says that, why are you so furious, shaitan Iblis? What is the reason? Why are you so disturbed? Shaitan says, a few qualities are present in your nation that has made my life miserable. If these qualities don't exist in your nation, I will be at rest, at ease. Says the first quality which is present in your nation is that when they meet each other, they greet them by saying Salam Alaikum. Salam is the name of Allah. And when they say Salam Alaikum, mercy of Allah descends, as a result of which I lost it. And the other thing is that you have made upon those who greet to each other in your nation, made it mandatory and wajib that you have to pay that salam back. And when that person pays and returns his salam, says that mercy also descends on the other party. As a result of which, I asked it from the conversation then. This is a teaching that we have to give more importance to this salam. No matter how many times we call home, nowadays we put cell phones and all these different ways and means to talk to each other. Just starting conversation with hi, example, say salam alaikum. Even if you had to call home and say that, oh, is the food ready? Just don't say, heat the food, I'll be home. Say salam alaikum, heat the food, I'll be home. That salam added. And that has to be taught to ourselves first and to our children as well, to greet each other with salam. The teaching of here, Imam Mustafa alayhi salam, he somewhat offered him a flower, he frees him in the way of Allah, with that justification that Allah has said, if you say salam to someone, then you have to pay that greeting back in a better way. So when someone says salam alaykum to you, say salam alaykum wa rahmatullah. If he says salamun alaykum wa rahmatullah, say salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now this ruling is so strong that if you were saying your prayers, in your prayers we can't add anything to it, we can't delete anything to it, but the ruling over here is that if someone says salamun alaykum to you when you were saying your prayers, you have to pay that salam back to him, you have to greet him back. Now how do you greet him back? You don't say wa alaykum salam. In namaz, whenever someone says and greets to you saying salamun alaykum, you will say salamun alaykum. If he comes and says alaykum as-salam, you will say salamun alaykum. That salam has to be said before alaykum. So even if he says alaykum salam, you say salamun alaykum. If he says salamun alaykum, you say salamun alaykum. If it's an Arabian and says salam, you say salamun alaykum. So in either case, that salam has to be paid back to that person, even if you are saying your prayers, that is wanted. And then Shaitan says, the other thing which has made life miserable for me is that your nation, Muslims, when they get to each other, they shake hands. Says when they shake hands, as long as that hand of that moment is in the hand of the other moment and he is shaking it, says mercy of Allah descends. Until they remove the hands from each other's hands. So that is second place where they greet and that mercy is attracted. The third thing he says that when they start a task or when they have a meal, they say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And when you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim before your meal, says a positive energy is given to that meal, as a result of which we are able to perform positive actions much more. And if that Bismillah was lacking, that opportunity also is lost. So, one of the teachings that we have from the Noble, they say that when you want to have your meal, have it with wuzu, say Bismillah, and eat facing Qibla. So three positive energies attracting to you, as a result of which more tawfiqat will be granted to perform better services. Because Qibla has its own barakah, that Bismillah is that much effective. And also with wuzu, nur, that is nur itself. And that's it. Now, even if you recall your memory, I did quote this hadith that once Imam Sadiq alayhi salam
was with
his ashab and they had a camel. The camel fell ill and they had to leave. Ashab come and say that, Ibn Rasulullah, this camel that we have, it can't walk. We can't carry it. We can't slaughter as we do not need that much of meat because we are leaving early morning. What do? Shall we just leave that animal to die in this wilderness here? Or what are the instructions? Imam says we do not need that camel. We cannot take. And it's going to die. So better to slaughter it so that even if the beasts and animals are to consume, let them consume halal. So how strict and how refined the teachings we have from Masumin alayhi salam. Because that energy which is generated from something which on which the name of Allah has been said has that effect. And then he says, Shaitan, that all day I work hard, misleading and misguiding your people of your nation. At the end of the day, they say, Astaghfirullah, God forgive us, we have repented. See, that has made my life miserable. And then he says that one more thing, that is, when your name is mentioned, your nation, they recite Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
And I know, because I've been living there, somewhere else, in those higher zones, and I know this Salawat which is recited upon you and your aunt and your progeny, what weight it carries. The moment that Salawat is recited with all that mighty reward and salutation, the angels frequenting there, I am ousted and come hushed from the presence of that majlis. As a result of which, that has made my life miserable. That is, these etiquettes that are present in your nation. And the other thing he says is that whenever they want to do something, they say, Inshallah, they have that. That is, if Allah wishes, that is, they have that aqeedah and iman and faith that whatever is happening is through Him, without His intention, nothing happens. May Allah Jalla wa'ala, in these glorious nights of the sacred month of Ramadan, make our Imam pleased with us. May he hasten his return and count us among his true supporters and those who seek shahadat in his service. Our children to be enlisted among the best of Muslims who ever existed. We be enlisted among the best of supporters of the Imam, the best of his servants, and those who carry out his commands without any hesitation. Ya Allah, all those who are being oppressed wheresoever they are, grant them ease. The oppressors wheresoever they are, in whatever form they are, clear the surface of this earth by their presence. Yes.